Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. Welcome back. Or to some of you, what the hell took you so long? God! 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476 is the phone number. Final hour of the show. David Shepherd coming up next. The Good Shepherd, you may know him as. I call him a little slice of shepherd's pie. I don't know if he likes that one or not. We had Sweet 16 games tonight. Shall I update you on the scores? Because here's what went down. Duke beat Arizona 100-93. Some big scoring games tonight, folks. Hope you had the overs. Duke wins. They're going to take on Saturday night, Alabama, who won 113-88. So Alabama had 25 three-pointers, and if they would have missed every two that they took, they would have still won by five with free throws and their three-point shots. BYU, quick team. Alabama, 25 points quicker, 113-88. Again, Duke, Alabama, a big matchup on Saturday night. On the other side of the bracket, in the West, Florida beat Maryland. And I don't think anybody's happier than Maryland's coach, who's on the first ticket to Villanova, most likely. 87-71 there. And then we went to overtime between Texas Tech and Arkansas. Texas Tech won this game, which for most of the night looked impossible. Like there was no chance it was going to happen. They won in overtime against Arkansas, 85-83. Now, Arkansas, the 10 seed, Texas Tech, the 3. But Arkansas, with 10 minutes to go in the second, was up 61-45. Texas Tech just pulled off the second largest comeback ever in the Sweet 16. Coming into the tournament, John Calipari, head coach, Arkansas, when he was leading by six or more at halftime. And in this game, he was leading by six or more at halftime. He was leading by seven. He has been up at halftime by six or more 35 times. 35 different games he's been leading by at least six. He has gone on to win 100% of those times. 35-0. He is now 35-1. Games tomorrow include the South region, where you're going to see Michigan State and Ole Miss. And then right after that, in the same gym, you'll see Michigan and Auburn. So there is a chance for a Michigan State Elite Eight game with a trip to the Final Four. And then on the Midwest region, you've got Houston versus Purdue, which will follow Kentucky and Tennessee. And then we'll have Elite Eight competition this weekend. So a wild night in basketball, not just college. Bulls scored 9 points in 10 seconds to beat the Lakers on a half-court shot from Josh Giddey. And oh, by the way, you had a nearly full slate of baseball with everybody in action besides the Rays and Rockies. Their seasons will start tomorrow. Been talking a little football, looking over the Bartometer, talking some Cleveland Browns, as with Russell Wilson landing in New York and Aaron Rodgers not going to sign anywhere until the summer solstice. The Browns still are not totally sure what they're going to look like under center for 2025. 888-710-4ISN. Spark Guy in Wisconsin, a longtime companion. What's up, buddy?
Bart, good to talk. Hey, I heard the tail end of that, and you know, you kind of touched on the Browns, but we're kind of like they're in a bad spot. But you know, they're going to figure out this Watson situation. They are just encumbered by it, and they just cannot roll him back out there. So they're going to.
I don't think he ever plays again for them.
No, and I think they need to fix the whole cap situation, and then the whole just he's a part of them, right? And if they get rid of him, nobody's going to want him as an asset, but they have to get him off their books. And so they got a problem there, but they're going to fix things. Still got some options. I think if the option I think is possibly going to happen doesn't, they get Kirk Cousins. That's my thing. Like, Kirk Cousins will be available in June. Stefanski, I believe, has a relationship with him. That's the backup option. But I think I just said Watson, and that whole situation is a huge problem for the Browns. And I look around at this draft order and everything else, and I've heard some stuff on the internet as well about another team that has a big problem. And that's the Cowboys. And the Cowboys' big problem is Jerry is not getting any attention. Jerry's getting zero attention, and that's what he wants. So the whole idea, I've heard the rumors of, there are a couple people out there with the Browns who are saying, Prescott may be on the move. And why would Prescott be on the move? Because the Cowboys could leverage that, flip picks, help each other out with the salaries, and that would be able enable the Cowboys to get up in the draft order to get Shedeur Sanders. And that All right. sets the table for the whole reunion in a year or two where Deion's been his coach and everything else. And I can see that. I can see that being kind of the whole move of the first Dak Prescott rumor that I heard earlier this week. So
there was a rumor yesterday. I don't know who came up with it. I forget the guy's name, but he was reporting, I guess, that this could be in the works. I also thought I saw it was going to happen as soon as yesterday night. It got debunked, but that doesn't mean it can't happen. The earthquake that would, like, just go through all, I mean, I'm not, you know, the NFL, sure, but if the Cowboys were able to trade up to pick number two, now you're saying they could take on Deshaun Watson's contract and then draft Shedeur, but they're giving up Dak's contract and he can go play for the Browns?
Yep. That would be my guess. And again, when I think that is not a done deal, or it's not like something that for sure, but it's something when, again, you look at the parties involved and you see what the motivations are, it at least lines up with the idea of, again, biggest move the Browns want to make is get a competent quarterback and be done with Watson. Biggest move Jerry wants to make is something big. And he's done nothing big. He hired Schottenheimer. I mean, it's been bizarre to see kind of Jerry go about business as he's knocking on death's door, and he's going to do something at some point, but this one makes a lot of sense. And it also makes sense that, you know, Deion can always come swoop in when things are cleaned up in a year or two, but I just feel like something is going to happen with both of those teams. And this is an option. Not going to say it's going to happen, but it makes too much sense to at least not be an option.
All right, let me levy one more back at you, because Prescott does have a no trade. But mm-hmm. you know who I don't think, and this is going to sound nuts, but I don't think Jerry Jones has the stones to pull that off. I don't think if the Browns said, I don't think he would do it. I don't think Jerry would do it. I think Jerry would be the one to say no.
You just think he knows the kind of headlines, and all of a sudden then he'll be at the top of ESPN for the next 6 months. That's what
I think Jerry definitely likes the headlines, but he likes it when it's like, oh, I got to re-sign Dak, or I got Mike McCarthy just hanging off the edge of the plank here. I'm still in control. This is a whole wild, I don't know that he's, it's like you and your buddies, you guys play with fire in the backyard, and all of a sudden they're like, okay, cool, now go burn down this bank. I don't know that he can go that far.
One final thing I'll let you go, Bart. One final thing, but I do have to say this in our past years and ask you one question. Is it 100%, 100%, not 99, 99.9, not 100% that Rodgers doesn't somehow end up on the Vikings?
No. I don't think it's not 100. But I don't think it's any more than like 2.
And that still gives me hope, Bart. So it was good talking to you, man. Good show.
Yeah. Good to talk to you, Spark Guy. I've gone back and forth with him throughout the years. I think for a while it got up to like 30, 35%. I'm at the point now where if Rodgers was going to be a Viking, he would be a Viking. So then you ask that same logic. Well, then why isn't he a Steeler? Well, because the Vikings, for lack of a better phrase, they got things to do. See, I'd like to swear there. That's where I want to swear. It's 2 in the morning. I can say they got S to do. That's not going to offend anybody. The fact that I legally like can't do that, or all these different affiliates will get just dinged a bunch of garbage money because I say they got S to do. It's stupid. It really makes me upset. The double standards around here are incredible. Because LeBron James is dropping F-bombs at lunchtime on McAfee's show. Some role model, Bron. I can't even say they got S to do. I can say damn. Ooh. I can get a little loosey-goosey and say ass. I can't say S. Stupid. That's the S word I can say. Johnny's in Atlanta. Johnny.
What's going on, Bart?
Man, how are you?
My question, I'm doing pretty good. I'm getting confused right now. What has Shador did that makes him think that he's a top pick? Unless I'm just that big of a hater, but he has not played any good competition in college this year. He did not make it to the playoffs. He didn't even get close to the playoffs. And Quinn Ewers, he basically almost led his team to the championship. Not even that Miro. So what makes Shador like the number 2 pick? I'm not impressed. That's what I'm trying to get from you.
Okay, this is what teams have to figure out is Shador, because I think it goes for the longest time we've been looking at it as Cam and Shador. And then, you know, everybody else, and we'll call that the middle class of quarterbacks. Is Shador close to that, but far enough away that you lump him with Cam? Or is he more along the lines of everybody there? I think from watching those guys, there's certainly more improvisation that I've seen from Shador. I think he's a very accurate quarterback from Shador. I think there's more upside with Shador, but in a normal year where there's like 5 good quarterbacks, where does Shador go? And is he closer to these guys? I think what you're ultimately going to see, I'm for sure thinking now that 3 quarterbacks get drafted in the first round some way or another. I'm almost saying we could get up to 4 based off of trades and stuff. I think they're going to come closer to Shador. I think Cam's going 1, and then Shador and these other guys are going to, like, get closer together.
I feel like I don't care with nobody. This is the quality of competition you played up against. He has not played no – he ain't even played nobody closer to Vanderbilt. I don't care what nobody say. Colorado ain't played nobody. They haven't played nobody. He didn't even light the HBCU up like that. So how can he be the number 2 quarterback when Miro's from Alabama played against top tier teams every weekend, and Shador played against high school players. Literally,
I've seen Jalen Milroe struggle as well.
When they play, he struggled against Georgia. Okay, he struggled against South Carolina. Shador struggled against Colorado State.
He was pretty bad in that bowl game against Michigan, if you factor those in at all.
What bowl games did Shador play in?
Well, Shador went to that. He went to that. Okay, I'm going to let you go.
All right.
But I cherish you. Okay, he hung up. Shador was in the bowl game against BYU, which is weird because they're in the same conference. And I was I thought we'd get a better showing out of Shador. Just stat-wise, if you're a stat head, Shador had 4,100 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 picks. A rating of 168. College ratings are different. Milroe's rating was 148. He had 16 touchdowns, 11, but he also rushed for 20. I'm going to be curious to see. I talk about this portion of the year being garbage time for mock drafts because we don't got a lot of things happening in the NFL. That doesn't mean we don't have football. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you that the UFL starts tomorrow. And when I get home, I will be watching a hour and 45 minute YouTube video that breaks down fantasy options for the weekend. St. Louis and Houston is the game tomorrow night. And that's actually why I'm off for a UFL party.
That's not true at all.
Who's the guy you know in the UFL?
Todd Haley.
No, he's not coaching, though.
I know. We established that when I realized, oh, he got fired.
But there was another one you knew.
Was there?
Yeah, there's another UFL coach you've worked with, I think.
Stand by.
No. It was, who was the guy? Stoops? Mike Nolan?
No.
Anthony Becht?
No. Oh, actually, do I have Anthony? Hold on.
John DeFilippo, Mike Nolan, CJ Johnson, Reggie Barlow, Skip Holtz, Bob Stoops?
Nope, none of them.
Wade Phillips, Wade?
Nope.
Oh, I thought there was a guy. Because I wanted to become the UFL show where Friday nights we had one of the coaches on from the game that was on that night.
I mean, the way that the league is going, I could probably make that happen still.
Okay, I kind of do want to do it. Because next week we have Birmingham at Michigan.
All right, I'll get on the horn.
So the UFL schedule, there's going to be one game on Friday every week. There's a game on Friday. Fox is going to air it. And then either two Saturday and one Sunday or two Sunday and one Saturday. And those are going to bounce between Fox, ESPN, and ESPN2 and ABC. And maybe one on FS1. So for those of you that are like, this is stupid, who cares? These are going to be on real TV channels. That's basically just like TV inventory. That's why it exists. But anyway, what I was saying was, I think there's going to be a lot of mock drafts that are like, you know what I'm going to do here is I'm going to put Jackson Dart at number 5 and I'm going to put Quinn Ewers at number 7. Because then people are going to spread my mock draft and I'll get clicks. So I think people will do that. But I also think there will be some teams. I do think as we get closer, teams are going to start to consider more. Because for the longest time, we have put Cam and Shadur ahead of everybody else. But what about Jalen Milroe? What about Jackson Dart? Yeah. What about the kid from Louisville? What about Ewers? What about him? I don't know that they're all first-round talents, but you got to draft the guy you like when you have the opportunity to draft him. I still think Shadur, he's not falling past New York. Right, Carlos, even with your crazy real world house.
Yeah, he's not dropping. Because if they get Shadur, then Tommy DeVito's off. He's going to practice squad.
Are we that sure Cleveland's not going to take him?
I'm not. I'm really not sure. I actually think that's why the Giants did good moves. And you said this a couple nights ago. They should not get clowned because either way, they come up smelling roses. If one of the quarterbacks drops, boom, you have your bridge in Russell Wilson. You have your backup in Jameis Winston, and you have your young, hopefully, franchise quarterback. If not, you take the best player on the board, and you just see what happens next year.
What are the chances? Because what we talked about when we talked about the Giants, if Shadur goes at 2 after Cam goes at 1, the prevailing thought is Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. And then get a guy with the second pick in round 2. There can't be a chance on God's green that they would go QB, 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 right? And pass up Hunter and Carter.
If that happens, that's another Daniel Jones at 6 scenario.
Like, we're just like, we just love Jackson Dart so much, we couldn't wait.
If Dave Gettleman had saw Jackson Dart at the Senior Bowl, he might do some things to him behind closed doors. Like, no, that's not going to happen here.
Okay. All right.
I'll lose my mind.
Yeah.
And you were talking about cursing on air. We might need a longer dump button if that's the case and we're on.
I mean, I've complained about that a little bit. Should I give it up or should I, like, make it a crusade?
You want to take on the FCC? I think everybody else is up for up grabs now. Why
does anybody work there anymore? I don't know what the hell's going on.
Do we have departments of anything?
I think if there was ever a time to swear and not get fined, it would be right now.
I really do think nobody would be on right now.
It'd be so far down the desk. It'd get lost in the mail if it got delivered. All right. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. I got a harebrained baseball idea that I don't think Carlos is a fan of. I'll have that coming up. And we'll take a look at everything that happened. Well, not everything. That'd be impossible. But a few of the things that happened on MLB's opening day. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. I'm just looking ahead at the schedule here in Major League Baseball. We had opening day today. Technically, we didn't because it started, the season started last week in Japan between the Cubs and the Dodgers. That's fine. It still felt like opening day enough. So that's fine. It could have been better. And this is just one of my longstanding gripes with Major League Baseball is I think they, you know, you have your computer guy. They used to be like couples. It was like an 80-year-old, not 80, but it was like a 50-year-old man. And it was like Jerry and Marge or whatever that movie was. But they were like scheduling. They would schedule it. They would write out the schedule for the season. And I think what baseball does now is they use a computer and then whatever comes out first is fine. And then they don't like go over it and say, could we make this better? Where are the TV windows? Is everybody satisfied? Are we maximizing our opportunity to get in front of as many eyeballs as we can? This year's actually a little better. Everybody plays on the 4th of July this year, which is a Friday. I feel like the 4th of July, Labor Day, and Memorial Day, every team needs to be playing baseball. Figure it out, travel-wise. They need to be playing baseball on those days. There are 3 days throughout the summer in which Americans have an increased hankering for baseball. And it's those 3 days. And the fact that they don't always play on those days is stupid. I'd like to swear there, too. This year, seems like everybody plays on July 4th. There's a couple of teams that don't play on Labor Day. 6 teams don't play on Memorial Day, but it is better. But I also think that there's some things that baseball could do in the calendar to maximize opportunities the same way that the NFL does. The NFL, look, they don't care. You got to go to Brazil to play a game. Sorry, we need a game on Friday night, and we're going to make it in Brazil. We also want a Sunday morning window, so we're going to play games in Europe. And what would also be cool is if we could play on Black Friday. And do you like Christmas? Well, would you like playing on Christmas? Because we just sold a package to Netflix. But that's the NBA's day. I don't care. The NFL finds time within their 6-month structured or 4-month, whatever. They find time to bring you football. I think MLB could do a little bit better job of that. I think that first day before when the All-Star break is done, I think there should be one game that Thursday night. And maybe give another team a back-end day or do something, whatever. Or, sorry, your All-Star break's shorter. We're trying to make it 2 teams that play close to wherever you have the All-Star game this year. I just, there's little things you could do to maximize. Like, that All-Star break, come summertime, it sucks. There aren't a lot of other sports happening. And we get antsy for our baseball team. So we would be like, God, I know our team doesn't play till Friday, but thank God there's a game on tonight. Baseball's a 162-game season. It doesn't get the opportunity to feel like a bigger deal within those 162 games. So my effort would be find opportunities. Like today. Today. Opening day. The broadcast on ESPN. Joe Buck. Joe Girardi. They were talking about how today's the one day a year that feels like a playoff game. Well, let's do more of that. The Field of Dreams game helped. When they play Little League World Series, it helps. Sometimes they go to London. That helps. They play the game in Puerto Rico. That kind of stuff, I think, helps. But that's location-based a lot of times. Just the time alone. I think you can find opportunities. Even if, you know, one night a week. Like if Wednesday was everybody's getaway day and you had Wednesday night baseball and it was the one game. They do that on Sunday. Day baseball. Day baseball games. It's 162 games. Do more of them. Don't shy away from them. It's okay to have baseball in the day. Oh, I'm at work. Then that's why you listen to the radio. Some of us do because we get obsessed, but you don't actually need to watch 162 innings or games in every single inning. And if you do, you'll find a way. You'll find a way. So I think opening day should be a day that they tinker with. I think opening day, they should have had a game on Wednesday. Ideally, against the World Series, like either the Dodgers host, like the NFL does, or Dodgers and Yankees. They play, so have that series right away. Why not? And maybe this first weekend can be a four-game series. Maybe it can be a four-game series so that you can play every day and you don't have to have like the Brewers and the Yankees and many other teams play today, but not on Friday because, well, if there was weather, we want to preserve opening day. Okay, then make it a four-game series. Make up the game later on. I'm just bringing other proposals to the table. I don't think Major League Baseball even gets to the point where they think, how can we do better? I don't even think they have a meeting for ideas. I think they just put it out and they go with it. The NFL schedule comes out in May. And it is a big deal. And that day, they say the schedule is going to be released at 7 o'clock. And instead of being like, okay, I'll look at 7 o'clock because I've waited 5 months. You're online all day trying to find leaks and scoops. And guess what? You're fed those leaks and scoops. And then you're invested in this all day. Major League Baseball, every year, your team's like 65 and 57. You've got 35, 40 games to go. You got to stretch here, games. You got to lock in. And your team sends out an email, 2026 schedule announced. What? Why? How? This is dumb. I just feel like they could do a little bit of a better job instead of these random matchups. Sure, the Cubs and Dodgers thing was scheduled in advance, but I don't know. Opening day is very, it didn't feel enough like opening day to me. It didn't feel enough like opening day. Because, first of all, you had to wait until 3 in the afternoon for games. Why don't we have a game at 11, 12, 1, 2, 3? Even like 11, 11:30, 12, 12:30, 1, 1:30. Stagger them. We're in March Madness now. We're playing games in March now. Give us a March Madness feel. Give us a whip-around coverage show. Let us see all of this. Well, MLB Extra Innings is free for a week. No. I need a real network. MLB Network's fine. TBS, Fox, whatever. But instead, MLB's strategy is, You know what, Bart? You're right. We got to get our games out to more viewers. So our strategy is, we're going to rip all games off ESPN completely. because we saw how well that worked for hockey 20 years ago. Also, we're going to create new windows. On Friday night, you get to watch the game on Apple TV Plus. On where? Now, I know you all have downloaded because Severance is awesome. But then what about on Sundays? We're going to make a new Sunday package. That's a good idea. Sunday games start around 12, 1. Start a game at 10:30. Little brunch. Get us going. All right, we're going to do that. And we're going to put the games on Roku. On what? Do I need the app? Do I need... any time that people say, do I need... What do I need? That's a problem. It was like, oh, Peacock, I don't want to pay. That's better than... like this Club World Cup soccer. They're going to do a World Cup of teams. And it's on, what's that channel called? DAZN. Is that called The Zone or something stupid?
Yeah, The Zone. That's where they had a lot of boxing at first.
The pronunciation of that channel is The Zone?
I believe so. DZN. But it's The Zone.
I don't know how to access that.
I keep forgetting it's a real thing.
Even like Roku, I don't have a Roku, but apparently you can like download a Roku app. I mean, why is this hard? Are these ideas dumb or stupid or even worth trying? Or would an opening night be bad? Is that not cool or what?
No, I like the March Madness opening day feel. Like I think that's the way to go. Staggering the game.
Even that, even if you don't have a standalone. Yeah, even if you don't have a standalone game last night, and you want to say no, opening day is opening day. Why were there, like, why, I don't, it just doesn't seem like they try. And I think that's what pisses me off the most. Every team should be playing on the holidays in the summer.
Rob Manfred's a murderer.
I also said that all interleague games should be played before the All-Star break. You didn't like that one?
Well, also, fundamentally, it doesn't work. You have to have an early game. There's 15 teams in each league. And the only way that can work is you got to add two more teams.
Nope. You stagger. Like Wednesday, Tuesday, and then you play maybe Thursday, Friday, and then another team plays Tuesday, Wednesday. You can make it work. Trust me, you can make it work. But they won't even try. They don't try. They don't care. Baseball instead would rather make the game shorter. I don't understand. Who are we targeting here?
The shorter thing's a real thing. Honestly, I can't even fault them for that. I actually think it's a great change. Nobody has the time, whether it's families with kids, single adults, older couples. Nobody wants to watch a baseball game for 3.5-4 hours. Like, sometimes it just becomes too much. Like, especially if a game first pitches at 7:05 and in the evening, you're going home at like midnight. Like, I actually appreciate
now the benefit
the pitch
of
clock
that is
and speeding the things along.
They've cut out. They haven't cut out action. They've cut out the non-action.
Yeah, so it's the 12 mound visits. You know, three of them in the same inning.
Yes, yeah, so I can appreciate that a little bit. But I also, when I go to the ballpark, I'm not looking to leave.
Right, but it's not for the fan. It's for the TV viewer, which is honestly what all sport leagues are catering to. They don't get enough eyeballs on TVs because it's taking forever. Like, there's no reason the Reds and the Pirates should be longer than Avengers 2.
I think that baseball has tried a lot to make improvements by changing the game and how it's played. I think now it's time to focus their attention to getting it in front of our face.
Yeah, 1,000. Baseball has a marketing problem. I think the game is modern enough that you get plenty of action. It's at a decent time, running time, 2.5 hours. Not a huge commitment. I actually love the pace of play now. Pitch clock is great. The bigger stolen bases in terms of the actual size of the bases, I love all of that. Not crazy about the ghost runner, but you know what? You had 9 innings to win the game, and so be it. If you got to get something and move it along, no problem. They have a major marketing problem. Their issues, they do not know how to position their product.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. When we come back, updates on the worst retirement tour of quite possibly all time, or the most ingenious. We'll have that coming up. Right now, let's get an update. It's Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN. A wild finish in the Bulls and Lakers game tonight. Yeah, there was some Sweet 16 games, but this is the basketball that you need to be witness to. Bulls were down 115 to 110 with 12.6 seconds to go, and they went on to, in 12 seconds, they were able to figure out a way to make three threes. You hear it via the Chicago Sports Network.
Bulls have to hurry.
It is.
Get it into Vucevic. Quick pass to Williams. Big shot for three. Good. Oh, wow. Two-point game. 9.8 left. Oh, who's going to get it? The steal. Right for the lead. Yes!
Big-time plays. Make big-time plays. Kobe, wait.
Final shot before that. Here's Reeves. Reeves straight to the cup. Plays it in to take the lead. Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win. Go!
Oh, my God. I cannot believe this. Elizabeth, I'm coming, baby.
Oh, Lord. Improbable.
Unbelievable.
Impossible.
Magic Giddy. Good day, mate. Somewhere in Australia, Sydney, or Melbourne.
He doesn't know. He doesn't care. It's great. What a feeling. What a moment that must be. Again, the Bulls were down five. It was just kind of like a free throw game. But then a big steal. LeBron had a bad inbounds pass. LeBron, tisk tisk. Your best friend Brian Windhorst isn't going to be happy. I didn't like that. I don't like that he... LeBron did not have a good week. He had a tip in last night. And then this. It's the very... Too much LeBron this week. I'll say it. Too much LeBron. But a great moment. To be in a building where you see that, not just the 47-foot half-court three-point shot, that's awesome. But to see all that is incredible. Bulls get the win and have been winning more than losing lately to improve to 33-40. You know who was in that building was Mike Trout. As the Angels are in Chicago with the White Sox series, so Mike Trout got to be in the building. If the Angels want to check scores of the other games during their game, they got to find a way to do it. They might have to get a radio in there and get some updates from the Infinity Sports Network because they can no longer have phones. Manager Ron Washington has banned cell phones this spring, at least, in the clubhouse. They do not want the players to be on their phones. They want it to be a time of focus. I think that's a great idea. I try to give up phone time. A couple days ago, I was out somewhere where people were comparing their screen time, you know, because it can show you that on most phones. And they said, Bart, what's yours? And I said, nobody knows. What do you mean? It says if you go look, you don't think that's the first thing I did was take that off my phone? No way in hell do I want to know how much am I on this phone. And then if I'm not on my phone, I'm on computers. I mean, I'm on my laptop throughout the day while watching TV, while playing with my phone. The entire time I'm doing the show, I'm in front of a screen. So I get minimum 4 hours of screen time a day. And then does it like multiply when you're looking at your phone while at a computer and a TV at the same time? My brain's got to be so rewired. What a mess. We are now about to embark on an 11-year retirement tour. Last thing I want to mention tonight. Because Jim Nance told a Scottish golf magazine that he thinks the appropriate time to go would be through the playing of the 100th Masters. So Jim Nance does the call of the Masters. It's, you know, goes hand in hand. And he says the 100th would probably be a good time to hang it up. And then you kind of look at the calendar and you realize that the 100th Masters will be in 2036. So still 11 years. He does admit a lot of things would have to happen for that to occur. First, I'd have to be healthy. Second, they would want me to come back. Of course they do. Don't downplay it. But we're now going to get an 11-year retirement tour. So every time you watch him, you can think, man, only 11 more years of Hello Friends from Jim Nantz. It would also be his 50th Masters, which is insane. So congrats on an early retirement to Jim Nantz. Thanks to Carlos Ortiz and Evan Harkin. Thanks to Marco Belletti on the updates. We've got a show tomorrow. Sean Levine will be here. I'll be back on Monday. David Shepard coming up next on the Infinity Sports Network. That's it for now. I'm Bart Winkler.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.